Welcome to Indie Audio, the audio version of The Independent. To listen to past episodes of Indie Audio, go to independent.org. That's independent.org. If you like what you hear, please help support The Independent by going to our webpage and donating or becoming a subscriber.
My name is Aaron Sheridan, and I will be reading the story Dawn of the Yellow Vests by Richard Greenman, published in this month's issue of The Independent. Montpellier, France. After a month of daily roadblocks and disruptions in every corner of France, and after four successive, violently repressed mass demonstrations in Paris and the provinces, the spontaneous, self-organized movement known as the Yellow Vests continues to seriously damage the political and economic order in France. Not only has the rebellion persisted despite unprecedented police brutality, misrepresentation in the mainstream media, and the rejection of it by the leadership of the labor unions, it has grown in popularity. Public support hovers at around 80%, according to recent polls. The movement has also expanded its goals, from an initial rejection of a tax increase on fuel to the outright dismantlement of the neoliberal order in France, and a near-unanimous call for President Emmanuel Macron's resignation. As the Independent print edition goes to press, French students have joined the rebellion, protesting Macron's introduction of an anti-democratic college admissions process. Students walked out of 170 high schools in answer to a Black Tuesday appeal for demonstrations by their union. Meanwhile, the Yellow Vest revolt has spread to Belgium, Holland, Hungary, and even Iraq, recalling the 2011 Arab Spring and Occupy movements. Macron speaks to his people. On Monday evening, December 10th, after a month of silence in the face of mass rallies fueled by anger and his perceived arrogant, condescending personality, Macron finally went on television with a pre-recorded speech that combined threats with concessions. The Jupiterian president began by laying blame for the violence that has shaken France entirely on the protesters. The state would offer no indulgence if the Yellow Vests persisted, he said. To movement activists who blame Macron for the systematic police mayhem deliberately unleashed on their peaceful rallies, this was gasoline on fire. But after the stick came the carrot. Macron went on to admit that the protesters may have a point. We may have forgotten the single mother struggling to make ends meet, he said, proposing a national conversation about the social-economic crisis which he pledged to coordinate with local mayors. He also offered a few economic concessions, rescinding new taxes on Social Security retirement for some retirees with very low incomes, the elimination of taxes on paid overtime, a raise of $115 in the monthly minimum salary for some workers, and a call for businesses to voluntarily give a year-end bonus to their employees. The president's attempt to placate them was widely rejected as too little, too late by the Yellow Vests, who continue to call for Macron's resignation and for a bottom-up reorganization of French democracy. The uprising was originally provoked a month ago by Macron's raising of the sales tax on gas and diesel fuel. Blue and white-collar workers, farmers, and small business people in small towns who depend on cars to survive were outraged. Macron justified this bitter pill as necessary for reducing France's carbon emissions. Ironically, France subsidizes the fossil fuel industry, which enjoys a very low tax rate on its huge profits, to the tune of $7.9 billion a year. Meanwhile, Macron's government has encouraged car use by cutting public transportation and delocalizing post offices and government service centers. The carbon tax seemed calculated to divide working people worried about the end of the month from environmentalists worried about the end of the world. On Saturday, December 8th, however, Yellow Vest demonstrations across the country converged with a long-anticipated march for the planet. In the city of Uzay, one Yellow Vest woman's homemade sign said it all. End of the world, end of the month, same people responsible, same struggle. In Paris, where thousands of self-organized Yellow Vest protesters attempted to gather to express their grievances on the Champs-Élysées for a fourth successive Saturday, they were systematically filtered by police at Paris railroad stations and vehicular approaches to the capital. Hundreds were arrested for possessing ski goggles, face masks, helmets, and other protections, as well as such weapons as a hammer found in the trunk of a provincial carpenter's car and bokeh balls. Those who managed to make it to the site of the demonstration were chased down by federal riot police who attacked them with tear gas, flash bombs, and water cannons. By the end of the day, cars were burning near the Arc of Triomphe and all of Paris was in chaos. This militarized state overreaction to a mass political demonstration breaks with a long tradition of tolerance for muscled rallies held by rowdy farmers and militant labor unions, a tolerance Macron has blamed for the failure of previous governments to pass needed pro-business counter-reforms. Meanwhile, throughout the provinces and in the small cities like Uzay, hundreds of thousands of environmentalists in yellow vests were out demonstrating or blocking highway entrances, intersections, and shopping centers. why France's silent majority is mad as hell. Like all the spontaneous mass uprisings that dot French history going back to feudal times, the Yellow Vest Revolt was initially provoked by taxes. Burning all established political parties and unions, the Yellow Vest organized on social media and acted locally. The broadcast media, although highly critical, spread the news nationally. The movement gathered steam across France, blocking intersections, filtering motorists, allowing free passage at highway toll booths, and becoming larger and increasingly militant each successive Saturday. Why Saturdays? I can't go on strike, explained one Yellow Vest participant. I'm raising 3 kids alone. My job, that's all I have left. Coming on Saturdays is the only way for me to show my anger. Women workers, receptionists, hostesses, nurses' aides, teachers are present in unusually large numbers in the Yellow Vest crowds, and they are angry about a lot more than the tax on diesel. Like Trump, Macron has showered corporations and millionaires with huge tax credits, creating a hole in the budget which he has compensated for with cuts to public services, hospitals, schools, transit, police, and through tax increases for ordinary people, up to 40% of their income. A large portion of the population is struggling to get by and going into debt. In response to an appeal for calm from Macron, leaders of the CGT and nearly all other labor federations signed a declaration of solidarity, not with the injured and arrested demonstrators, but with the Macron government as the representative of the peaceful Republican order. They accepted Macron's invitation to resume the social dialogue, that is, to sit at the table with him and negotiate more give-backs of workers' rights. The next day, contradicting themselves, CGT Secretary General Philip Martinez and other union leaders called for a national labor demonstration on Friday, December 14th. They plan to raise the same basic economic demands as the Yellow Vests, but one day before the movement's next scheduled protest. Regardless, the stage is set for the next act of popular uprising in France in the weeks ahead. Stay tuned. Richard Grieman has been a socialist and international activist in the United States and France since the 1950s. Elaine Murray contributed to this report.
This clip was produced by Aaron Sheridan.